Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
Hey, Lonzo Ball, it's your agent.
What's up?
I've got a commercial opportunity for you from Buzzballs Ready to Go Cocktails.
Nice. My last name is Ball. The product is a cocktail in a ball. I get it.
That's what I thought too, but no. They want you for your hands. They think your big hands will show off the size of their new Blue Biggies ball.
Big Blue Balls? Really?
Get Blue Balls this season with Buzzballs.
Please drink responsibly. Buzzballs available in spirit, wine, and malt. 15% alcohol by volume. Buzzballs LLC, Carrollton, Texas.
You have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Awesome. Here comes Halliburton. He lays it in with 1:03:10 to go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Now Jaylen Brown. History is good. The floodgates have opened and the magic are drowning.
Today's guests: Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, actor Tia Carrere, Bucks general manager Jason Light, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Just had a nice chat with Tia Carrere in our green room. We're gonna go down a pop culture wormhole with one of the stars of the upcoming edition of Lilo and Stitch, which is going to be in theaters nationwide next month. So she's back in Lilo and Stitch 20-some-odd
Let's
years
go.
Later. So there's lots to talk about with Tia, who was in Wayne's World back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And
General Hospital back in the day.
True Lies.
True Lies. Was also, I believe, Larry David's bathroom monitor.
Uh-oh.
In a great episode of Curb. So we got a great celebrity true or false coming up there. Jason Light, the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Will be joining us. Bruce Feldman in studio, hour number three. But the man of the hour. Many times, I get asked all the time, how do you do it, Rich? I get that asked all the time. How do you do it?
And do what?
I don't know what it is.
Hey, Chris.
I don't know what it is.
It's just the thing.
It's this.
This.
But a man who definitely gets asked that question more than I do is the general manager of the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and also an alum of the freshly minted national champion men's basketball winners, the Florida Gators. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Howie Rosen's
hey.
World, and we're all paying rent. How are you, Howie?
What's going on, guys? How
good,
we doing?
That's
a long bio on Tia. I can't wait to hear from her. Jason Light, one of my close friends in the NFL,
yes,
set him up with his wife.
Oh,
did
wow.
Set him up with his wife. Yeah,
dude.
You got to talk to him about that. You
dude.
Know, we've...
Howie.
We were evaluating talent from the same talent pool like we do in the NFL. And you got a great list. And then you got me, you know, Bruce Feldman. Wow.
Yeah, brother. Hey, listen, when you generally manage, basically is what you're saying. So you manage the Lights relationship, Howie. My goodness.
Yeah, you got to be in a position where you're constantly evaluating, Rich. You know, you're evaluating everything in life. You know, that's how we roll.
How do you do it, Howie Roseman? And it's, first of all, it's good to see you don't have like that Porzingis welt on your head anymore. You kind of got rid of that from the Super Bowl parade. We're showing that right now. My goodness. Gracious,
yeah, that was real. That was real. I think I was in the concussion protocol for a couple of days right there, but well worth it. I think, unfortunately, my broken forehead is now the picture most represented of myself. So
is that right?
It took a couple of weeks to get that off. I still have a little bit of scar, but I'll keep
you
it.
Do?
It reminds me.
Damn.
It reminds me of a great moment in Philadelphia. But hopefully, we do this again and, you know, we stay in the middle of the road on those buses.
I bet. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's jump into this draft, Howie.
Let's do it.
It's kind of gotten almost old hat with you where all of us on the draft set are saying, how did Howie Roseman wind up with this guy again? And Jahad Campbell is that guy for you. You moved up only one spot for him. But walk me through your identifying Jahad Campbell pre-draft and then what you were doing the night of the draft to get him, Howie.
Sure. You know, Jahad Campbell, it doesn't take long to watch his tape and see him jump off. Explosive player. He can blitz from depth. He can play in space, cover in backs, tight ends, zone coverage. He came to Alabama as an edge rusher from IMG. So he's got that in his body, too, to be able to play on the edge. And so the player's really easy, you know. And I think for us, all along through the process, this was a top 10 player on our board. I think it's no secret by now. Some of the questions were more medical in nature for the reason that he fell to the spot kind of where we were. We rely on our doctors, and we had a lot of conversation on Jahad, and we think that over the near short term and the long term that he's going to be ready to go and play a lot of great football for us. So really excited to get him. And there's always reasons to why guys are available. But he is a heck of a player. South Jersey kid, which is special. He just has the right mentality, right skill set for what we were looking for. So just felt really fortunate that we were able to trade up and grab him.
Well, is it true that when the Chargers took their 22nd overall pick down to the last second that you were on the phone with your counterpart out here in Southern California to try to make a trade at 22 for this kid, Howie?
You have a lot of conversations during the draft with a lot of teams, and there's a lot of action when teams are on the clock. You're moving up. And so we had a lot of conversations with a lot of teams that were in front of us, finally able to execute a trade with the Chiefs and Brett Veach, and hopefully, you know, it works out for both sides.
Well, I mean, so I appreciate that answer.
Thank you.
So, again, a healthy amount of paranoia doesn't hurt in this league. Does any part of you get a little concerned in a draft knowing that people know what type of player you like and you might not get the guy that you want because someone's going to jump the line knowing that you're going to take him? Howie, does that happen?
It's so easy to get humbled in the National Football League. And I think that at the end of the day, the draft is an inexact science. And so you just got to go in regards to what you think. It's hard to know what everyone else is thinking. You know, this just made sense for our football team. What everyone else is thinking is doing what's best for their team and have a lot of respect for what everyone else's thoughts are on the players they draft and, you know, the players they pass over. But, you know, there's no paranoia in that regard. I think at the end of the day, just felt like for us, for our team, this was the right player.
And was Jeffrey Lurie impressed by the mic-stealing ability of Jahad Campbell on the stage from our Jamie Erdahl? Because, you know, your owner likes to take mic when he takes the trophy, too. Howie, that was impressive.
I got to get a clip of that. I'm not thinking about that. I didn't know that he does that. But, man, Jahad really stealing the show. He's got a lot of football in him, but I think one day he's going to be one of these guys that is taking the mic, you know, and I don't know where you and I will be at that point, but hopefully it's way, way down the line.
Exactly. What'd you like about Makuba out of Texas to take him 64th overall? Howie, what'd you think of him?
Explosive player, you know. Anytime you start a sentence with explosive, it's probably going to be a really good description of the player. He was at Clemson for 3 years. He was all ACC for his 3 years at Clemson. Was actually the ACC Defensive Player of the Year as a freshman, freshman player of the year. And then he transferred to Texas. He had played a lot of nickel at Clemson, so he had this coverage ability, which we're always looking for in our back-end players, to be able to come down, cover the slot, to have that versatility, to not only be able to play in the middle of the field, but to come down and cover slot receivers, gives Vic a lot of flexibility. And so he had that cover ability. He just plays like his hair is on fire. You know, everything about him is fast and physical. And he's got ball skills, too. So for us, great character. It was just a really good fit for what we were looking for in the back end. Obviously, we've lost some players here in Philadelphia since the Super Bowl. And we weren't trying to draft for need. But when need hits the value of the player, a beautiful thing.
Well, you definitely lost a defensive tackle in free agency. And now you got Ty Robinson out of Nebraska. And this clearly, you know, follows your philosophy of hitting the line. I mean, we've had mm-hmm. Joe Banner on here multiple times, and he's, you know, obviously sings your praises, Howie. So this is another one of those moments where you're just following the same plan over and over again, Howie?
And again, you know, the value has to be right. We don't want to reach. For us, we didn't get to the offensive line until later in the draft because the value where we're picking has to hit it right. And Ty Robinson stuck out on our board. He was the highest rated player on our board. The guy can work edges. He's really strong with his hands. Great character. This guy was a captain in Nebraska. Matt Rhule, former Temple coach, Philadelphia guy. You talk to him about Ty Robinson, and he tells you all the things that we're trying to represent here. So was really excited, and him and our center, Cam Jurgens, who just signed an extension, they had battles when Ty was a freshman. So, you know, we got firsthand those one-on-one battles. Really excited to bring Ty to Philly. And like you said, you know, we lost a defensive tackle in free agency, a really good player who's in the AFC now, and we just want to keep restocking those lines. Feel like we have some players here who played for us last year, who will get a little bit more run of show, but to continue to have those guys coming in waves is really important for our football team.
Well, lots of discussions, Howie Roseman, about taking a quarterback late in a draft and what you're looking for out of a quarterback late in the draft. And obviously that's through the prism of Shedeur Sanders. What do you like about Kyle McCord, Howie?
Processing, like really quick processor. The ball's coming out really quickly with anticipation and accuracy. You know, leading passer in the NCAA. You just go down his games this year and it's like 340, 380, 390. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's throwing the ball all over the field. We know him really well. St. Joe's Prep graduate, three-time state champion in high school, number one recruit and five-star recruit in the country. Goes to Ohio State. I think he had two career losses at Ohio State, you know, as a starter. And then goes to Syracuse and just performs really well there. So, you know, obviously we have the Super Bowl MVP as a starting quarterback. I feel extremely fortunate to have him. We have a young quarterback room behind him. We drafted a kid in the sixth round, Tanner McKee from Stanford, who got a chance to play last year and played really well as well. So, you know, for us, again, we talk about the lines a lot. The quarterback position is extremely important as well. Getting young guys in here that can develop into the players that we think they can be.
And I understand, you know, I'm probably not going to get an answer to this question. How's that for a wind-up, Howie Roseman?
But it's a beautiful thing because now it doesn't even matter what you're going to ask. I'm not answering.
No, I understand. And I understand I've opened that door. But I'm going to ask it anyway. Everybody thought, it could be viewed as a prism of, like, Kyle McCord isn't, you know, eventually your first choice. But were you gonna draft Shedeur in the fifth round? That the Browns jumped the line. Everyone thought it's because you were interested in him. Let's just put it that way. You were interested in him, Howie.
Yeah, I would say that there are a lot of players that get taken before you picked in the draft. A lot of good players, and when you get to your pick, you're going off the board that you have.
Okay, so you went off the board that you had, and he wasn't there when you drafted because the Browns jumped the line. That's what you're saying. To that point,
I think everything you said is factual. I'm trying to think of where you're trying to catch me.
No, I'm not trying to catch you. How dare you, Howie Roseman? I'm trying to catch you. I'm trying to, we're just trying to, you know, the conversation come out of the draft was about how far, you know, Shedeur dropped and how, you know, everyone was pegging you as a spot because you were obviously, as it was confirmed, you know, in the interest of taking a rookie quarterback to adding to your draft room. That's all I'm saying. But you're not confirming or denying that he was on your draft board. That's what you're saying.
No, I wouldn't do that with anyone. So I certainly don't want to do it with one single player. That could open the door to many questions, Rich.
All right. So then let me ask you this question about that drafting. The number and your two cents on the subject matter of this pranking business. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Shedeur. It was so many other players going on.
Yeah, including Kyle McCord, apparently.
Right. So what do you think should be done here? Howie, you know,
well, there's a lot of smart people in the league. I certainly don't know that I'm the one who should be speaking on it. But I think there's probably ways that we can do it where, you know, maybe the players get the GM's numbers. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe they start pranking us. That's happened to me before. So maybe that's not a great solution. I was thinking maybe FaceTime. I don't know. Maybe there's a general number for each team where they call from a cell phone and that's the number that's only for the draft and you have to FaceTime the player. I'm thinking out loud, Rich.
No,
I'm trying
sense.
To find solutions
no,
because
it makes sense.
Because my concern a little bit is that if you're on the clock and you can't get in touch with the player, there's concern from the team. So you don't want to get in a situation where they're not answering our calls either. That wouldn't be good. But we'll find a really good solution, and I bet you that this will be fixed before next year.
Sure. And so, because again, just to confirm, because this is what I was told, you as a general manager or team calling the player, it's important to, it's not just to welcome the player, right? It's to make sure he's okay, that he didn't trip over something that morning, right? Like that's
There's no doubt. You want to hear from the player. You want to hear the voice of the player. You want to make sure that you can be in contact with that player. And it is important. It is important. And it is important to welcome them to the team as well. And I think everything about the process, I'm very confident that this will be a great process by the 2026 draft.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, across state. Yeah. Across state from you, Howie. A couple more minutes left with the general manager of the two-time Super Bowl champion and reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles here on the show. The tush push being banned is still on the table, man. Like it wasn't dispatched. That there seems to be enough teams here that is saying that this is still a player safety issue or pace of play issue. Those were the two reasons that were placed before the membership by the Packers. I wonder what you think and what potentially is being done behind the scenes to keep this play in the playbook, Howie.
Well, I don't think it's any secret what we think as a team. I certainly don't want to get into the merits here. It's a league issue. Was happy that when we went to the White House, the president saw it our way, for sure. But I know that they'll have a lot of conversations with that, with the owners, when they meet in May.
Okay. And what's your expectation level? I'd love to get your two cents on this one, of how Jalen Hurts is going to be now that he's won one. You know the difference, right, between winning one and what sort of confidence level you can get and how you can continue to lead in a certain way now that you've got one in the case. What do you think he's going to look like or come across like in a way now that he's got a trophy in the case together with you, Howie?
Yeah, Jalen's had an unbelievable start to his career. Maybe one of the most process-oriented people I've ever met. And when you're that process-oriented, it doesn't change by success. You continue to do the things that have made you successful and look for ways to increase your level of being successful. And that's everything I've seen for Jalen in this offseason. He's here every day. He's working extremely hard to continue to improve. And that's really what we're all trying to do here. We're trying to get better. You know, we understand that it's hard to win championships in the NFL. And, you know, for us, picking later in the draft, having less resources than we do, we got to all do a better job. You know, we got to continue to find ways to find edges to compete at a championship level, and that's the goal, you know, to have that confetti fall on our head, because it's a beautiful thing when that green and silver confetti, it falls on your head. It's like an amazing thing.
I am sure it is, and it's just not just for you, but for all Eagles fans. You mentioned Tanner McKee before, and he won a game for you this year. You beat the Cowboys, Howie, and I don't know if you're aware of what's going on around here. Again, you're generally managing not only the Eagles, your own life.
Giants, too. He played in that Cowboys game, and then he started against the Giants.
There you go. I appreciate it.
I don't want to be correcting you because you are great at what you do,
sir.
I thought it was important for Tanner to have that credit.
I appreciate that. I don't know if you're aware, we have a Dallas Cowboy fan on the set here, my compadre TJ Jefferson, who has been clowned multiple times this past year by Philadelphia Eagle diehard Carl Anthony Towns. Howie sent balloons to our set. He sent balloons to our set here, reminding TJ of the final score of the Eagles Cowboys game, sending a bunch of roses, and the number of roses matched the points that you guys put up. He sent a mariachi band here to play Fly Eagles Fly for TJ. Howie,
I'll tell you what, Carl Anthony Towns, what an unbelievable Eagles fan. We have some unbelievable athletes who are Eagles fans, you know, on his own team. Obviously, he's got his point guard there, who's an unbelievable player, Jalen Brunson.
That's right.
You know, Mike Trout.
That's right.
I'm going to try to hire Mike Trout 15 years from now when he's done playing baseball. But we met after we won in 2017. I saw Carl Anthony Towns in Indianapolis at our hotel, He was playing against the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I met him and found out what a big Eagles fan he was. So I keep in touch with him as well.
Nice.
Go Birds. Great job, you know. Great job by him.
Howie, it is, TJ, you have to give it up. The level of trolling was beyond compare at this point in time.
It was top-notch, Howie. And look, I'm supposed to stay professional here, and I want to like you. I do. But you've just made my life as a Cowboy fan so miserable. You know, I don't know what to say. Just like, would you stop being so good at your job?
Can I ask you that? I'm hoping to continue to make your life miserable. It would make me happy if year after year we have this conversation. Now, I got to work hard to do that, but that would make me happy. Howie, I pick Carl Anthony Towns and myself over you.
There you go.
Howie, I feel like we could be friends in another life, too. But, man, you're
no
just
doubt.
You're ruining it
no
for
doubt.
Me right now,
no
bro.
Doubt. I'm liking you now. It's hard for me even to say what I'm saying because I'm liking just talking to you right now.
I'm a likable guy. You're a likable guy. Just for a few months in the fall, we can't see eye to eye.
It's all working for Howie Roseman.
Congrats on all your success.
His Gators win it all in the tournament. He wins it all in the National Football League. And I always appreciate you saying yes to coming on here, Howie. Congrats
on
everything.
Me.
You got it, brother.
Thank you. All the best.
Same to you. It's Howie Roseman, the EVP and general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I was stunned he didn't trade up into the first hour of the show.
He could have.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did say that before the show.
But like, he would have, but none of us are from Alabama.
Yeah.
Or no. Georgia. Or
Georgia.
Well,
Georgia.
Adjacent. Georgia.
You're Georgia adjacent.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I hate interviews like this.
I love them.
Because people who I shouldn't want to like.
We got newsmakers coming on here.
We talked to him, and now I like Howie. So now I can't boo him.
He's not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, we were ready to take Shador. I mean, I got to ask the question.
Yeah, for sure.
You knew what you were getting from him.
I don't like when he says that I'm trying to trap him. What am I? I'm not a trap artist.
Yeah, that's not what. Those are waters
trap.
That you don't deal.
I don't trap. I'm not trapping.
No.
I understand general managers, their way of generally managing is not to get aggregated in any way, shape, or form by anything or anybody.
Yeah.
So I'll ask Jason Light.
The reverse darling.
Do you think Howie was going to draft Shador?
Okay,
very good. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's go from Howie Roseman to Tia Carrere.
I mean, who else is doing this?
Let's go.
Nobody?
Nobody.
It's NBA playoff time, people. Trust me. If you've never been, you got to go. The minute you walk into the arena, you can cut the tension with a knife. The fans are hyped. The rivalries are intense. You're part of history when you go to one of these games. Let Game Time get you to an NBA playoff game right here and right now. The Game Time app. It's awesome. It makes saving so much easier. You can save up to 60% when you buy last minute for an NBA playoff game because maybe you want to go at the last second. And you could do the same thing by saving at last-minute prices with concerts, comedy, theater. You can also get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. And before you buy, the all-in pricing feature shows you your entire total up front, so there's not a single surprise for you with a fee at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. You get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep. So you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
Now, you told him about how you are the Bill Walsh of audio executives.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't screw these up. Your favorite catchphrase from the original Predator. Go ahead. Here's one.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
All right. That's number one. Here's number two.
Okay.
Get to the chopper!
Can't hear them at all.
Okay.
You can't hear them.
Yes.
You can't hear them.
So what I'm going to do, I'm doing this blindfolded. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, did Bill Walsh not have the volume up? Did the Bill Walsh of sound engineers not have the volume up for the segment?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. This is not bode well.
I don't want to cause feedback.
There's a method to his madness. Do you want to try one more time now?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, man.
Here it is. We can kill it.
Okay, if it bleeds,
we can kill it.
Okay, here's the next one.
Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here's the other one.
Okay, mother.
Okay, there's that one.
Okay.
Start bench cut.
All right, get to the chopper, gets cut. Because it's only an incidental line, and the only reason we remember it is because he's Austrian. If anybody else said, get to the choppers, it wouldn't have been a line. It wouldn't have been a line. It's only because he's Austrian. Cut. It's superfluous. We're going to bench your one ugly MF-er. So what you're going to do is you're going to start, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Because it's a succinct line, and it's done in a very naturalistic way.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Very well done.
Now,
for everybody else who comes in here on the Rich Eisen That's show, we're going to show
I'm
them.
I'm setting the bar here.
We're going to show them this start bench cut because you have raised the bar, Keegan.
Setting
Michael
the bar
Key.
Right here.
We're going to edit out Del Tufo messing up the audio. We're going to edit that out.
Can you edit that out?
No, it's
too
it's
good.
Perfect.
Ah, yes. Keegan Michael Key, back in the day when he was coming in to talk about the remake of Predator, I have a feeling
right.
We might be invoking the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger in the next 15 to 20 minutes of this program. Just got that inkling. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our Roku channel live stream, we're all one big live happy family. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. A live action reimagining of the 2002 animated classic family adventure hit Lilo and Stitch is coming to theaters in just a few weeks. And here to talk about that, available exclusively in theaters nationwide, part of the original Lilo and Stitch, part of this one, ladies and gentlemen, Tia Carrere here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Great. Nice to see you.
Same here.
I'm so excited. I've put sparkly, I don't know, hula skirts on my heels for your show.
You are, oddly enough, you're not the first. Arnold did the same thing when he was here.
I'm already redundant. All right, fine. I'm going home.
Lilo and Stitch is back. I mean, my kids are going to be
22 years ago? 22 years ago, I did it. And I'm so glad that I get to be another character
you're
in
different.
This. Yeah,
it's
I'm not 16 years old. I'm not the older sister, Nani,
right.
Clearly. But I'm playing Mrs. Keikoa now, who's a social worker that's trying to keep Nani on the correct path,
okay.
Let's say, with my helpful hints of, you know, how to do it. So it's going from the kid that's searching for a mentor to being the mentor, which is, I guess, the natural evolution being, you know, around for 40 years.
When that comes your way, right? Like you probably were, I'd imagine, surprised that there's going to be some sort of redoing of Lilo and Stitch. You probably thought that might have been, unless maybe not.
No. It's hard to imagine. I mean, when you have a beloved, you know, franchise like that, and
right.
It's in people's minds a certain
yeah.
way, in watercolor, and you know, it was just perfect. So you're afraid to touch that. But I mean, Dean Fleischer Camp did a tremendous job with Marcel the Shell
mm-hmm.
with shoes on, made me cry, a little shell person, and weeping. In my own living room
right.
during COVID. And so he, you know, puts to heart with the zany, you know, Stitch is a crazy alien, you know, in CG. It just, the heart and the zany effects are married perfectly in this film. So I think there's going to be something for everyone.
Friday, May 23rd. Everybody make a note of that right around Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
right
there, Memorial Day weekend.
Fantastic. Everyone should make a note. Theaters nationwide, Lilo and Stitch, the live action reimagining of this Disney classic is going to be coming back. Tia Carrere here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I asked you before when I saw you in our green room if you are a sports fan of any way, shape, or form, which is not a requirement to appear on this program. But
yes.
I'm happy for you to repeat your answer here.
I just
now
came up with this
snooty
Hollywood actress answer, and I said, "Well, I love seeing the Lakers in basketball when I have floor side seats."
Well, and I said that that's just like
it's fair.
Any other red-blooded American.
Lakers hint.
Well, I mean, we need to get on that tonight. If not, it could be wait till next year.
No, but I'll sing for my supper. I sang the national anthem at the last Lakers game I went to. So, you know, quid pro quo, some floor seats, and perform the national anthem, my favorite song to sing.
And you've also done it locally for the Angels and the Dodgers as well.
Yes, Angels, Dodgers, and Lakers. Now, next Kings.
Okay. Do you know what your win-loss record is of these games, Tia?
I don't think I'm good luck, though.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know the statistics on it, but I'm sure somebody can go up and look.
It must be good because you're invited back to do it.
That's true. I did two Dodgers games, so.
Okay, so
but they don't blame it on me. Whatever happened is what it is.
Yeah, they're a pretty good team, though, too. It's pretty good for you to show up there.
Yeah.
Where does that rank on the nerve-wracking?
It's amazing. I love it. I'm serious. This is my favorite song to sing. I used to sing it in senior year at Sacred Hearts Academy School for Girls, and it was a great honor for a senior to sing that song for flag raising.
Okay.
So I, you know, anytime I get to sing it for inaugurations or whatever, you know, I love it. It opens my heart. It makes my heart swell. I'm a very patriotic American.
Well, I mean, and I have been told, though, it's the toughest song to sing.
It's a rangy song to sing.
Right.
But I don't know. I had a lot of practice doing it. My sister was a Raiderette, but I never got to sing it at a Raiders.
She was.
I went to the Coliseum. The Coliseum downtown LA. Yeah, a long time ago, like 40 years ago, maybe 30 something years ago before they moved away.
So your sister was a Raiderette.
My sister was a Raiderette. She was on the front page of the sports page in her little midriff and short shorts.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll have to look that
up. We'll have to look for that picture.
All right. We have a game called Celebrity True or False.
Uh-oh.
Where we go down somebody's history, film, television, and ask if these backstories that we've heard are true or not.
And I can stand on the fifth if it's self-incriminating.
You may answer however you wish.
Okay.
You are not under oath. We've all done this for 10 plus years.
This is a Disney family show. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Nobody's ever asked me whether this is, testimony or not. But hit it.
Celebrity, true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
Lots to talk about. Celebrity True or False with Tia Carrere here on The Rich Eisen Show. First up, true or false, you were discovered by a producer's mother and father while shopping in a Waikiki grocery store, and that's how you landed Aloha Summer to start your career.
That is absolutely true. It sounds like a made-up PR story, like a Lana Turner Schwab story, but it's a God's honest truth. I had just finished a modeling shoot, so I had a garland of flowers around my head and a full face of makeup, and I was in a bikini, so there was that. It's not like I blended in. But I was shopping for ground beef for dinner, and a producer's mother and father came up to me. I literally had raw ground beef in my hands when the chance meeting changed my life. And, you know, I could have gone down, you know, the cookie aisle and never been discovered, but I was there in front of raw ground beef and got my first movie female lead in Aloha Summer.
That's how that works.
So
you went and you could have gone down the produce section, but instead you went down the producer section, I guess.
The raw meat section. Is there a
story? Which is potentially an analogy for the business. I don't know. So you were just in a bikini
it was a crazy shirts photo shoot. So there's this company there, and they I'm sorry, I just gave them a commercial. Yeah.
You're in a bikini in a supermarket, and that's
well,
how
you know that, and the t-shirt, sure, okay. And then a garland of flowers, you know, the Le Po'o on my head, and full like pancake makeup back in the day, and shopping for groceries. Just you know,
and
quick
that's how
stop
it
in
started.
And yeah, and then this producer's mother and father just flew in from Beverly Hills and said, "Your son's doing this movie Aloha Summer. I'd be perfect for the female lead."
Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Next up, true or false? You had a guest appearance all set on the A-Team, and was supposed to lead to you joining the cast of the A-Team. But a recurring role on General Hospital prevented you from doing it.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Yeah, it's too bad I couldn't have done both. I was a regular on General Hospital in the Asian Quarter. and I played Jade Sung. There's me with my little rice bowl haircut.
Jeez.
And yeah. And I was supposed to be Tia. They wanted to use my real name on A-Team.
Oh, on A-Team.
On A-Team. Okay. So I was in the last episode of whatever season that was. George Peppard's friend from Vietnam had a child, but they thought the child was a son. And then all of a sudden, a VC starts shooting at them from the bush, and that's me. Surprise, it's a girl.
What the hell?
Oh, wow.
The storylines from the TV shows in the 80s and 90s.
That does sound like a wild 80s situation.
Yeah. It's a good one, though. It's a good one. You got to check it out.
No scenes with Mr. T?
Yeah, it was very confusing. They call, T, come to the set. No, I mean Tia. No, Tia. Tia.
Nice. Very good.
We could never have worked out. No, never would have worked out.
What's the craziest plot you were involved with in General Hospital?
Geez. Okay. There was some valuable, priceless black pearls that were stolen, and they were found in the eyes of a little baby doll that one of the characters had in the show. Priceless pearls, who knew it?
Jeez. Was this the Demi Moore, John Stamos era?
Just after that.
Just
it was the,
after that.
I think Emma Sams had just left for Dynasty before I came on.
I love it. Yep. Every word you
That's
just said.
That's some television history.
That is, I love it. All right, next up, true or false, you turned down a part on Baywatch because of Wayne's World.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah, it's true. I had gone in for my audition for Baywatch, and then they had to do like a swimming test, and I kept dragging my heels because I had read the script Wayne's World, and it had, you know, kick butt, you know, Cassandra Wong, rock and roll, martial arts. And I thought, it will be mine. Oh, yes, it will be mine.
That's what you thought.
I was like, there's nobody else I know that can sing, that can do martial arts, that can act, you know, and I had been doing it for a while, you know, and so this is going to be my movie. But we had to sort of, I could have lost both. So I'm so grateful that it seemed to come in. Just it was meant to be.
Right.
I had gone in for Baywatch a couple times. I hadn't even gone in for Wayne's World, and then I had like two more subsequent auditions, so it was really tight.
So, first of all, I've heard of screen tests. I've never heard of swimming tests. You really had to swim?
For Baywatch,
you
yeah.
You had to swim.
And honestly, I'm not that good of a swimmer.
So, you had to really prove that you could swim to get a job on Baywatch? You had to do
that? Well, they didn't want you to drown.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd imagine there's tons of life-saving equipment around Baywatch. That's what the show's
about.
Yeah,
but I mean, they're spending the whole time in like, you know, red bathing suits and no, you know, floaties around their arms. Mm. So there's no hiding a flotation device.
Okay, very good. Well,
I know what you were thinking.
Well, I mean, it was on the cast. second one, true or false, you still have the red lace dress from Wayne's World. Is that true?
I do have the red lace dress. I should actually go and put it in, a safe somewhere, but I just tried it on recently. I have to send you the picture. I'll send Liz a picture.
Bless you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Mazel tov.
Mazel
you can
tov.
Still fit it.
So
40 years later.
No. All right. A couple things. Is it true? Do people say the word schwing to you when they see you?
Yes. Oh, people have said schwing, and I've turned around and people, like guys have been dropped to their knees, bowing before me saying, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. We suck. I'm like, that was Alice Cooper. Right. That's not me. I'm the schwing. No. But that's okay. It happens. Like,
you have to correct
people dropping
them.
To their knees, bowing. It's, you know.
You got a good, we've had Rob Lowe here talking about how it was difficult to get through scenes. You got any stories like that?
I bet it was difficult for him to do that, like police officer one with the gloves.
That's what he said. Yeah. He couldn't get through it. you know, because Dana Carvey kept also hammering some fake hand or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So what,
I was talking about that cop that was pulling him over for the body cavity search.
Ah, I got
That's
you.
What I was referring to.
So what do you, what about you? Like what?
A hard scene to do.
Yeah, on Wayne's World. That you
Jeez
tough
Louise.
To get through.
The whole thing was hard because we had, I think, like 29 or 28 days of principal photography, which means for a studio picture, that's breakneck speed. You had a couple of takes each and you moving on. So you had to have your stuff together. And I had to learn how to play the bass. I had to learn all the songs. I was recording the soundtrack at the same time. And you know, and learning all that Chinese dialogue, it was Cantonese dialogue. It was a lot, but so, I held on for dear life. I was like Garfield the cat, like.
Because I mean, you were around some real comic, you know, geniuses on a mm-hmm. set like that.
Fortunately, I just had to be the straight guy.
Okay, very good. I like it. Next up, true or false? Your original contract for True Lies was for 7 weeks, but ended up earning 7 months of pay because of how long it took to shoot.
I didn't realize it was just 7 weeks. Yeah, it was about 9 months, I think, I shot. And the movie was shot over a year long.
Right.
That was magic. That was magic. I was so glad to be invited to the party on that one. Learning the tango, you know, taking tango lessons with Arnold, getting stomped on.
What do you mean?
No, because I decided to do my tango lesson barefoot because I'm from Hawaii. I'm used to walking around barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
Big mistake when you're learning tango because you have to step, stomp, you know, and in his hard shoes and as big and as muscly as he is, that was very painful.
You're saying Arnold stepped on your feet?
Yes, it wasn't his fault, though. It was my fault because I wasn't wearing my shoes. I was supposed to be wearing my shoes.
Or, you know, I mean, he could have had a better, instead of two left feet or anything
it
like that.
It was our first lesson.
I like it.
Yeah.
It you got lesson. Any good Arnold stories? Your favorite Arnold story from True Lies?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if he'd want me to
tell. Then now you have to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Now it's in.
He and all his friends are such, you know, the stunt guys and his stand-ins. They're great guys, but they're like a bunch of dudes that hang out all day long, and it's like the most benign thing, like playing thumb war. And I don't know. And lighting.
Yes. Yes.
Lighting something.
Lighting
things on fire. they would light things on fire, like the chairs on set. And it's
wow.
I know. It's just, but they're sitting around for 18 hours a day. And I mean, it was nothing unsafe or
That's
whatever.
A big budget.
But a bunch of, like, you know, teenage boys just trying to keep themselves energized by like dumb games.
And you're sitting off onto the side and you're watching this stuff. What is happening?
No, no. I was really, the one day that really freaked me out was we were shooting by Van Nuys Airport and we're all hanging out, everybody's having fun, and the Northridge earthquake hit, and we were 3 miles from the epicenter.
Jeez.
The glass was falling out of the side windows, and Jamie Lee is like screaming. She's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then we had to evacuate because there was a gas leak. And who had all the dialogue? It was my monologue in the torture scene. And I was like, okay, stay calm.
Wow.
I know there's an earthquake. I know this whole building could blow up around you, but nobody's going to remember that. They're only going to think that you suck. So I had to just like focus and memorize my lines and do them the best I could. But yeah, the Northridge earthquake was going off around me as I was doing the torture scene in that movie.
I had no idea.
That's a bit of trivia.
Last
I just remembered.
One, last one, the next on the other side of things. You were in 3 episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You were famously known as the bathroom monitor of Larry David. And true or false, that was based on a real person in Larry David's office.
I don't know. No, that's false because, well, my name, Cha-Cha,
yes,
was based on his daughter's equestrian coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there was a real person in the office. They were concerned about monitoring his bathroom habits.
You know, I didn't know about that part. See, because when you show up on that show, they don't tell you at all who your character is, what you're doing, or anything. Yeah. So it was completely improvised, and I would just verbal diarrhea, just talking, and they go, okay, I like what you said about Ross dress for less, and, you know, let's carpool into the office. And so then you give them more of that. But I was really shooting in the dark. I didn't know what I was doing.
That was all ad lib, where you're like, I'll write it in my Filofax, you said.
Yeah, I'll write it in my Filofax, because I did. I carried a little tiny book, and I wrote in little tiny handwriting all my appointments for the day. So I carried an actual Filofax around with me.
So you didn't know you were playing Richard Lewis's girlfriend, or they did at least give you that information coming
when
in?
I got to set, because I'd worked with Richard before.
Yeah.
Richard.
Right.
He said, okay, Larry's not going to tell you anything, but I'm going to tell you a couple things so you don't walk in there like deer in the headlights. He said, you're my girlfriend and you're working in his office. I got you the job. And I'm like, okay, good. Thanks.
But
he didn't tell me all the rest of it because he didn't know. So it's a surprise to everyone that shows up on set there.
Yeah. You being named, nicknamed the bathroom monitor, that you had bowel concern for Larry David, is one of the funniest things I've seen on television ever.
Well, I originally went in for the part of his, not proctologist, but the one that gives enemas. And they said, no, we can't have you play that part. So they had me come in and play the bathroom monitor. Yeah, that's true. I went in and my audition was for, and I don't, they do that healing thing.
Sure. Colonic?
Colonic technician. Yes.
Because I do believe they said that they would have a colon off, right?
They did.
They were going to compare colons.
Yeah.
Larry and Richard.
How bizarre is that?
Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
Tia Carrere, thank you for coming here and playing along and having a good time, hopefully.
Thank you. And mahalo. And hope all your dads and moms out there, sports lovers, come and see my movie, Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. Lilo and Stitch. In theaters nationwide, the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tia Carrere, everybody.
Hey.
Rich Ackerman with an update.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands: Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly, all under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring. Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
I think you're on mute.
Workday starting to sound the same.
I think you're on mute.
Find something that sounds better for your career on LinkedIn. With LinkedIn Job Collections, you can browse curated collections by relevant industries and benefits, like flex PTO or hybrid workplaces, so you can find the right job for you. Get started at linkedin.com/jobs. Finding where you fit. LinkedIn knows how.
What were you saying? What was the question?
Oh,
Larry David.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but he's just too odd, man. I mean, we had dinner once. We went out for dinner.
Yeah.
He calls me up and I said, what time? He called me up in the afternoon. He said, let's have dinner. I'll meet you there now. It's always now. It's like some diva actress. And I said, come on, what are you now? He says, let's have dinner. I said, I just had a hero sandwich. He said, all right, I'll meet you at 4:01. 4:01. I said, then we were on the phone for an hour. I said, and we got up to 5:18. I said, all right. And it was this high profile thing on Rodeo Drive or one of those streets in Beverly Hills that he goes to a lot. He's a regular guy, but he's Larry David. You can go wherever you want. So can I, for that matter. So I got there an hour early to pay the check. I said to the mate, hey, Mr. Lewis, how are you? Call me Richard, but listen, I'm paying for dinner. And he says, oh, no, you can't pay. I went, what do you mean I can't pay? What do you mean I can't pay? No, Mr. David would be upset. I don't care about him. Then I did my Norman. What do you mean I don't care about him? He can't follow me. I can follow him. He can't follow me. I can catch him. So he says, no, we won't allow it. I said, what do you mean you won't allow it? It was a screaming match.
This sounds like an episode of Curb, by the way.
Yes, and I said, take my credit card. So I sit down. Larry comes an hour late after this hour phone call, 4:16, 5:03, 5:18. He was like a Jewish airport controller, out of control. So he gets there, and I said, Larry, why don't we make believe it's 1972, and we're broke, and all we care about is comedy and just our passion for our craft and whatever. And he says, what do you mean? What do I mean? We used to go to a Chinese restaurant, cheap. I'd get soup. We'd split it. I'd get, what do you want, beef? All right, I'll get the shrimp. All right, don't take too much of my shrimp. Then we'll split it. It was like $5, okay? He says, we're not going to split anything here. I go, why not? You'll hurt the feelings of the chef. I said, I couldn't care less about the chef. I'm hungry. He says, I know him. He's a personal friend. I went, you know, and now I'm worried about the check, okay? The chef comes out with 18 entrees on a turntable. Big enough. We should have sent it to the Army and to the Navy and to the Marines and all that, and to a third world country. We don't even have a discussion, Rich. The phone rings. Steve Martin, comedian, of course. And he doesn't say goodbye. He gets up, he goes, I forgot I have poker night. And he leaves. And he leaves me with $100,000 bill with this Chinese food that I couldn't even recognize. It looked like a peacock smoking a joint. I didn't even know what it was.
This is an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I hope
so. You do realize that.
Wow.
Oh my God. Man, we had Richard Lewis here. It's so cool. You know, because we have in the back hung up in our green room the first ever Super Bowl signing board, signed by all the celebrities who appeared at our first ever Super Bowl in Arizona. And by the way, that was the Malcolm Butler interception Super Bowl. And when Richard was here for the show, he signed that. Thinking, I guess it's for celebrities to sign, and he signed it. It's Richard Lewis's.
And he put HOF like 72 or something on there.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Man, just the best. He had bowel concern. Mom doesn't want flowers you picked out from a website, kiddos, or chocolate you picked up at the last minute at the pharmacy. She wants to hear from you, and she wants to feel like she's still an important part of your life. So this Mother's Day, call your mother, or better yet, on top of it, give her some new tech and a reminder you love her with an Aura digital picture frame. Aura frames named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, featured in 495 gift guides last year for a reason. Because I use it, and not just that, you don't need to look at pictures on your phone anymore. You take them from your phone and you send it to your Aura frame, and you'll just live the memories every day, over and over again, in front of full display of everybody. It's a great deal for Mother's Day, too, on top of it. For a limited time, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Rich. And support the station by mentioning us at checkout. Why don't you? Terms and conditions apply. That was fun with Tia Carrere right there. Yeah. By the way, when she was saying that Arnie and the crew that was doing the stunt crew was lighting things on fire. Did you get the sense it was lighting some certain gas emanating from their own bodies? They're lighting on fire.
I didn't think of that until you said it afterwards. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I was literally going to say it on the air.
I mean, obviously, Arnold, big cigar guy, so he's you got the lighters for the cigars, I'm sure.
Notice I said that. He's been a guest on this show. I didn't say he's sat in this chair.
He sat in this chair.
The only guy in the history of this show that would not sit in the guest chair provided because he said it was too low to the ground and would be taking away his energy. He needed to sit up. And it's he couldn't. Chair. And I'm like, okay. Chair. And he grabbed your chair.
Right.
Which was.
And before we come back on the air, we switched out the chairs. And he said, I can't sit in that. It's a baby chair.
It's a baby chair.
He called this a baby chair.
Thank you for letting me use your chair.
Which is amazing because, like, Boban and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes, I've sat in that chair.
Fact.
Yep. They're tall, I guess. Yeah. You know, conversely. Jason Light, Bruce Feldman coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
C-Web, I'm trying to think of the tallest people
Tyson
in the history
Fury.
Of the show. Yeah, Tyson Fury.
Dude, when Tyson Fury came on,
he was all legs.
Well, he was, because he also was wearing these hot pink shorts.
Really short shorts. Well,
seriously, like John Stockton shorts.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was all legs. He just stretched
and
out.
And he stretched them out. It came to the middle of my table, of my desk. You know? And he wasn't complaining that I was taller than him.
Nope.
Carl Anthony Towns sat in that chair.
Carl Anthony Towns sat in this chair.
There it is.
There, this is Arnie coming here. This actually happened.
This is a baby chair.
Just wheeling my chair.
Here we go. It's RJ moving out. Del Tufo's like you moving in.
I wish I would have started recording earlier, but I was just so stunned. Like, wow, he's really grabbing it.
Oh, he moved it.
And then he makes himself comfortable.
He was much happier in that chair. So,
thank you for letting me use your chair. That's what he said to me.
Did he really?
Yeah. He thanked me.
He thanked you.
Yeah. Shook my hand. Thanked me.
Isn't that nice?
It was great.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Next level.
Next level.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, man.
The Governator.
We've been around, man. We've had a few.
I'm just going to say this.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
That was Tia Carrera, bro.
My mom texted me. She's like, Wayne's World.
I mean, how many times I watch Wayne's World, bro? Like, come on. Yeah, it wasn't for Wayne and Garth either, I'm going to tell you that.
Can you imagine you see Tia Carrera and you go up to her and you say the word swing to her?
Yeah, I would. That's something I would do.
Swing.
Swing.
That takes some guts.
Camera one.
Some
camera
gumption.
Two. Camera one. Camera two. Camera one. Camera two. I can't wink both eyes, but camera one. Camera two.
Camera one.
You can't wink both eyes.
I know. It's weird.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Oh, it's great.
Still, is it appropriate to show to my kids?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
There's nothing lewd in there.
No. There's no excessive cursing or there's no nudity.
Right. And Mike Myers and Dana Carvey have returned enough to Saturday Night Live for my kids to know who they are. They do. Oh, that's the guy who plays Elon Musk. That's the guy who plays Joe Biden. That's how they would know them. And I'm like, well, you know.
Before that.
Yeah, there's a lot before.
Who plays Biden? I mean, I don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore. So.
No, Carvey did.
Oh.
Last year. He came back and did Biden. And this just in. An outstanding Biden.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stan Mikita's donuts.
His Bush is great.
Cassandra.
George Bush.
George Bush.
Thank you.
George Bush.
This guy.
I mean, you guys.
Okay. Swing.
Stan Mikita's donuts.
Dude, I know.
We said that.
That's what they just said.
I heard him.
Right,
I said
great.
It, and then you repeated it.
That noise is Roku having second thoughts. Right now.
You guys are it. Please.
About giving us a third hour.
I said it. You repeated it.
All righty.
Swing.
Swing and light, everybody.
Come on.
Swing.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Pay time off, see? Oh. You've never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.